Tonight we're going to look and kind of have a more of a Bible class tonight than a sermon. And we're going to cover an important subject. And usually we preach a message about baptism at different times. And all our college students are at BCM tonight, or most of them. And I thought, well, they should be here too when I preach this message. But the Lord said, no, just go ahead and preach it. So tonight we want to look at the subject of what does the Bible teach about baptism. And we're going to look at a number of different places in the Bible tonight. And we're going to do a little bit of groundwork. Let's see, where is Jerry Marsden here tonight? I bet you he went up to Falls tonight. okay, if you have, somebody has a laser, I could probably use that a little bit to help so you know what I'm talking about. But let's go in our Bible and let's turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and our first subject that we're going to talk about tonight is that salvation is not by baptism, okay? And most of you know these verses. Let's see if this works here. Oh, look at that. Well, it really is. So let's go to Acts chapter 13. You can turn to the first slide, whoever's running this thing back there. Acts chapter 13, what does the Bible say about salvation? And we want to look at a few verses here. Wait a minute. Okay. There we go. Okay. So let's see what the Bible says. Acts chapter 13. The Apostle Paul is preaching. And these are the verses that we want to look at. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Well, here's the message of the Apostle Paul. And what did he say? He said that all that believe are justified from all things. And so, it didn't say all that are baptized, did it? It said all that believe. And obviously you know these verses, but let's go to another verse. Acts chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2. And we could look there, but just for sake of everyone to know what really the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Okay? For by grace ye are saved through what?
Faith.
And that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, it's a simple truth, but we know that that's what the Bible says. It didn't say you are saved by baptism. It says you are saved through faith. Let's see. Let's look at the next verse, Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. We all know that verse as well. The Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And what is faith? Faith is faith. Faith is dependence. Faith is reliance. Faith is trusting. And when a person recognizes that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for their sin, and they turn from their sin and they turn to Christ, depending upon him completely for their salvation, for the forgiveness of their sins, at that moment they are saved. And so, it's not mental assent, it's personal faith, personal trusting. Now, obviously this is not the main subject here, but we're just mentioning a point. Salvation is by faith, it's not by baptism. Secondly, let's look at some verses that tell us that baptism always follows salvation. Baptism always follows salvation. We have just a few verses here. Luke chapter 3, we have this well-known verse, Luke chapter 3. John the Baptist was ministering and preaching, and we know that the Pharisees came, and they said, "Why don't you baptize us?" And he said, "No, I'm not going to baptize you." He said, let's read verse 7. Then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." The point being that John the Baptist would not baptize them because they had not been born again. And their life did not evidence a life that they had repented and been saved. And so he said, so baptism always follows salvation. Let's look at that simple verse in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. The Philippian, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the Old Testament, Acts, Isaiah 53. Philip went there and preached to him Jesus and salvation. And they came to a place where there was water. And the eunuch said, Acts 8:36, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And, of course, the point being here is that before there can be water baptism, there has to be a faith in Jesus Christ. Obviously, that eliminates babies because they can't have faith. They can't repent of their sin. They don't understand. And let's go to now Acts chapter 10, another familiar passage of Scripture. And here we find that the gospel is going to the Gentiles, and Peter is preaching about Jesus Christ, that he rose from that he died, he rose from the dead, that he's the Savior. And while they were preaching, they were saved. Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, Peter's preaching, and he said to him, "Give all the prophets witness that through this name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And notice it said, "believe." And while Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And here they found evidence that these people had received the Holy Spirit. They were born again. And verse 46, "And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." And they probably speak in Hebrew language, I would imagine. This was the miracle. And then he said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And so they had been saved. They received the Holy Ghost. And then he said, "Okay, now they can be baptized." So the order is obvious. We've already dealt with some of the issues. We've dealt with the issue that there are people that say baptism saves you. Well, no. You have to be saved before you get baptized. We've dealt with the Pentecostal issue that says that when you get baptized, then you speak in tongues. Here we find that they had received the Holy Spirit, and that was the evidence of their salvation, and they were baptized afterwards. So, but a simple truth here that we want to make sure we have that groundwork ready. But let's talk about the issue that we're going to talk about tonight. What is baptism? Let's go to the next slide, okay? We are going to ask this important question. What is the meaning of baptism? Okay? And you don't have a Greek Bible in front of you tonight, so we're going to try to help you. Thomas does. You can all sit next to him if you want. Okay? But in the Bible, we're going to look at what is baptism. Now, let's just say that we need to look at what the Bible says, and that needs to be what we believe. It doesn't really matter what men say. What does the Bible say? Right? That's the issue. What does the Bible say the meaning of baptism is? And we're going to solve that by a very simple process, is that as you look at the Bible, we're going to find that with the word baptism in the Greek language, it most often is followed by that word. It's the Greek word, depending on which version you have, it's either Greek word pronounced ice or ace. Okay? And that word is used in connection with baptism throughout the Bible. Okay? So, hopefully we can explain this. The word ace is translated in the English Bible different ways. Sometimes it's translated the word for, sometimes it's translated the word unto, sometimes it's translated by the English word in, but it's all one Greek word. And it gives us the key concept of baptism. Okay? Now, there is a idea that baptism is merely something that you do. And it is something you should do after you are saved. And that's true. You should be baptized after you're saved. But that is not the main focus of baptism in the Bible. It is true. You should be baptized after you're saved. It is true that baptism in the Bible follows salvation. That is all true. But that does not tell us really the key concept of what the whole ordinance of baptism represents. Okay? Now, we're going to, could have been a better chart here, but let's see how we're doing. Okay? See that word there? Identification. And we're going to propose tonight that the key principle of believers' baptism is not mere obedience, but the key principle of believers' baptism is identification. Identification. Okay? Now, identification is a simple principle. Okay? Now, you know, you can do a lot of things to identify yourself. Okay? If I came up here tonight, if I walked into the church and I had my baseball cap on backwards, what would that be saying? Now, this is American culture, Brother Sumatra. This is not Filipino culture. It would be a symbol that I'm rebellious. You know, I tell you a story. One time, I was milking the cow, and I had a bad headache that day. I mean, I had a splitting headache. It was so bad. And just the brim of my hat touching my head, my head was just splitting, you know? And so I turned my cap backwards to relieve the pain. And I kept milking the cow and finished milking the cow and finished the chores. And I went down to the FICAL Building Center and to get some materials for the building project at church here. And they looked at me real funny, you know. And I thought, what are they looking at me funny? They didn't say a word, you know. And I still had my hat on backwards, you know. And I came up here to school. And I came up to church here and I got out of the car. And Jason Andridge was up at the top of the stairs, and he looked at me, one look, and he ran downstairs to the classroom. He says, "Hey, guess what? I just saw a pastor with his hat on backwards. Oh, let's come and look at it." Oh, yeah, because that was a sign of rebellion. And you know, you don't have to do much to show that you're rebellious. It doesn't take much to show that you're rebellious. You know, people do all sorts of things to identify themselves. You know, most of the haircuts, men's haircuts in America, you know where they came from? The new ones? The look, you know? Where'd that come from? Rock musicians? Yeah. Where did the baggy pants come from? You know, you got these guys' baggy pants, you know, and they're falling down. And it's embarrassing. You know, where did they get that? You know where they got it from? They got it from rap musicians. And you know where they got it from? They got it from being in jail. And in jail, they don't let men wear belts because they don't want them to hang themselves. And so these guys identified themselves as, you know, jailbirds and people who were, you know, that type of society. And that's what they started wearing, you know, when they're on their in their rock. You know, it wasn't just rock music, it was rap music. And guess what? In America, all sorts of people. I guess it's a little fad that's changed a little bit, but for a while it was pretty big fad, wasn't it? You know, people wearing, I'd say, you know, they'd go to the used clothing store and they'd buy pants that are 10 times bigger than they could get in. You know, they could get two legs in one of them, you know. But actually they went to the store and bought those things. Why? Because they wanted to identify themselves as rebels. They wanted to identify themselves as rebels. And you know, it doesn't take much to identify yourself as who you are. Now, a lot of people are naive and they don't think and they just do what Hollywood tells them to do. And the Bible calls them simple. But we're talking about the word identification. Okay? And you know, identification. And there's a close word that's close to identification. It's the word imitation. And imitation is like identification. Imitation is the highest form of admiration. But in the Bible, we're going to see this word. You can go to your Strong's Concordance afterwards and you can look up all these words and you can see that is true. So, let's have a little Bible study. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. And this is describing the baptism of the apostle. This is describing the baptism of John the Baptist. Okay? And it's telling us about John's baptism. Okay? And John said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And the Jews, as a whole, they said, "We're Jews. We're already saved because we're Jews. We're children of Abraham. And John the Baptist says, no, you're not saved by being a child of Abraham physically. You're only saved by being a child of God spiritually. And that's by repentance, seeing you are a lost sinner, have a sin nature, there's a penalty for sin, and you need to believe on Jesus Christ who's coming to die for you on the cross. And you can show your repentance by being baptized. Okay? And so there's two groups of Jews. There was the main group of Jews who said, oh, we're fine. We don't need to listen to this fellow. And then there's another group of Jews who went to John and were baptized, mainly in the Jordan River. And what does this baptism represent? Notice Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Now, it's the Greek word eis, unto repentance. Now, okay, unto, does that mean this baptism results in repentance? No. Because he said you can't get baptized unless you have repented and you show fruits of repentance. Okay? So it doesn't mean resulting in repentance. It means identification with repentance. By this baptism, you are showing the rest of the Jewish people that you see yourself as a sinner and you have repented of your pride and your self-righteousness and that you recognize that you've been going the wrong way and you have turned to God for forgiveness of sins and faith in Jesus Christ. And you can show publicly that you're not ashamed of what you've done. And you can show publicly you're not ashamed of this message. And you can show publicly that you prepared yourself for the coming kingdom. You can show it publicly by being baptized. Baptism, identifying yourself with repentance. It's the Greek word, eis. All right, let's go to another place. Let's go to Acts 2:38. And this is a verse in the Bible that the cults twist and make it say something that it doesn't say because they don't properly interpret the Bible. Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. Jesus has been crucified 50 days later. Now Peter is preaching there in Jerusalem. And it's interesting, they just discovered in Jerusalem a place where there's kind of a built-up podium. Not a podium, but a built-up platform where they would probably stand on and preach from. And preach to the people who would come to the different feasts in Jerusalem. But anyway, Peter is preaching, and he said to those Jews that he said, verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, improperly interpreted, this would say, oh, the different cults will say, okay, now that shows you, you're baptized for remission of sins. No. Remission of sins is by faith in Jesus Christ. So what does that word for mean? That word for is the Greek word eis. and literally translated unto. And if we could put that word unto in there, it says unto remission of sins. What is it saying? It's saying by baptism, you are publicly identifying with the fact that you have trusted Jesus Christ and he has saved you and your sins have been remitted. Now, it's amazing how they can make it the opposite. But it's the word ace. For remission of sins is the word ace. Ace, for. Now, what I'm trying to prove here is that every place that we have the word baptism, and it's describing the meaning of baptism, it has the word baptize, it has the word ace, and it tells you what you are identifying with. Do you understand that? Every place where it tells us the meaning of baptism, it has the word baptism, it has the Greek word ace, and then it tells you what you are identifying with. Okay? That's in every one of these places that we're going to look, we're going to see that same thing. Baptize, Greek word ace, and then the thing that you are publicly identifying yourself as. Okay? The thing you're identifying with. Now, the Greek word ace is literally means unto. 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 So, we already established that baptism isn't save you, that you are saved by faith. And so the unto isn't, can I put, real? It's only in identification with. It's symbolical. It's a symbolical picture. And so, John the Baptist people, they were baptized unto repentance. They declared, identified that they were had been, they had repented. Here it says, unto remission of sins. They identified themselves as having received the remission of sin. That's big, you know. There was a monastery over here in East Troy, and I knew a man from West Bend who went to that monastery, and then he got saved. And he got saved, and he went over to the monastery, and he said to the priest, I want you to know, I've been saved, and I know for sure my sins have been forgiven, and I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. And they couldn't believe it. They said, nobody can know that. Well, you know, baptism is identification with what? All your sins have been forgiven. Isn't that great? Okay, now let's go to the next verse. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. And we're proving two things, showing you that in every one of these cases, the word baptism is followed by the Greek word ace. And that word gives us the meaning of baptism, what you are identifying with in baptism. All right? Verse 3. Know we not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think that word into is? It's the Greek word ace. Same word, Matthew 3. Same word, Acts 2. Romans 6. Same word, ace. Okay, into. All right? They were baptized into. Okay, so when a person is baptized, does that bring them into, literally into Jesus Christ? No. You're not brought into Christ by baptism. You're brought into Christ by faith. Amen? Baptism identifies you with Jesus Christ. And it says, you are baptized into ace, his death. It's identification with death. Ice. Unto. Okay? And it's saying to the public, okay, I want you to know I'm identified with Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I want you to know I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to be publicly identified as a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of whatever you say about that because I'm not ashamed of it. And you know what? I also want to tell you, I'm not ashamed of the fact that when I got saved, I died. My old life is gone. And I got new life now. Unto identification with. Identification with. Unto. Now, let's go to another verse in the Bible that surprisingly is the exact same Greek word in the, and it's a verse that we know very well. It talks about baptism, talks about the Trinity. But notice this verse, Matthew chapter 28. This is the Great Commission, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Who do you baptize? Those that you've discipled. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now the word in, guess what word that is? Guess what Greek word it is? Ace. Translated in, but it's the word ace. Okay? Literally or wittingly, it would have been said, baptizing them unto the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a little bit easier to translate it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a great verse on the Trinity. But it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Unto. It identifies a person with the Trinity. Is that important? Did the Jews, unbelieving Jews, believe in the Trinity? The Buddhists believe in the Trinity? No. Baptizing them. You see, it's not a formula like we kind of make it. It's identification. It identifies us with the Trinity, which is basically saying identifying with correct Bible doctrine. Correct Bible doctrine. There's an identification. Could you put it in simple words? Believer's baptism identifies you with the truth. It identifies you with the truth. Now, we've talked about this, but just think about it. It identifies you with the truth. Why are people ashamed? Why do some people who claim to be Christians don't want to be baptized by immersion? You know why? Because they don't want people to know what they really believe. They don't want their relatives to say, oh, look at this. Identification. Okay? And so believer's baptism is a public identification. Now let's go to one other one. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, I realize there's different interpretations of this verse, but this verse is in the middle of a chapter that talks about the local church. And everything in this passage is about the local church. There's nothing in this passage that is beyond the local church. But notice the verse. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Now, What? Guess what word that is? It's the Greek word eis. And you know what? It's the word baptism, and then it's the Greek word eis. Believer's baptism identifies you with the people of God. It's just obvious. You're identifying yourself with the New Testament church, Christ's institution. You're identifying yourself with those people who are unashamed of Christ's institution. You are identifying yourself with the people of God. Now think about it. When Jesus was baptized, did he get baptized because he had gotten saved? No. He didn't get baptized because he got saved. He didn't need to be saved, did he? Okay? But when Jesus was baptized, he did identify with the Trinity. The Spirit of God fell down upon him. And the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." When Jesus was baptized, it was a death, burial, and resurrection. It was identification with the gospel that he was going to die, he's going to be buried, and he rose again. Yeah, the message. But you know what? When Jesus was baptized, he was also identifying with the people of God. You know, there was two groups of Jewish people. There was one group of Jewish people that said, "I don't need to be saved." There's another group of people that said, "You know what? I do need to be saved." And they repented of their sin, and they publicly identified themselves as those that had repented and were waiting for the kingdom of God, and it was a spiritual kingdom, and you had to be born into the family of God to be a part of that kingdom. And they were the minority, and they were the laughing stock, and they were the people that the religious leaders said, "Oh, ha, 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 ha." And when Jesus was baptized, guess which people he was identifying himself with? The saved people, wasn't he? Just by virtue of his public baptism. He was identifying with the message of John the Baptist that was laughed at by the religious leaders. He was identifying himself with those foolish, quote-unquote, people who believed the message of John the Baptist and repented and were born into the family of God. He identified himself. And so, we're going back to, what does the Bible say the key principle of baptism is? The key principle of baptism isn't just something you do. The key principle of baptism is identification. It's not salvation. It's identification. Identifying yourself as one who's repented. Identifying yourself as one who has had all your sins forgiven. Wow. It's one who is identifying unashamedly with Jesus Christ. It's one who's identifying themselves as a person who has been born again. They died to their old self. And now they're a new creature in Jesus Christ. They're saying to the world, "I want you to look at me. Because a miracle took place in my life. I've been born again. And I got a new life. And I'm not ashamed of letting you know that." I always remember the story of the African missionary that in their church, when they had a baptism in the river, and man, I can't believe having a baptism in the river in Africa, all those crocodiles and everything, but that's what they did. But you know, when they were going to have a baptism, whoever's going to get baptized, they had them put on a white robe. And they marched not from the church to the river. They marched from the church, first of all, to that person's house. So everybody in the neighborhood knew that that person was getting baptized. And then they went to the river. You see, Because the whole idea of baptism is an identification. It's a public message. And that's why I say baptism is a public identification with Jesus Christ. It's a public identification. And many times we take away the public identification of that baptism when we confine it to a church building. Because it's the world that before whom we should be identifying ourselves. Because that's in life who we identify ourselves before. So, you'll hear well-meaning people say, well, baptism is about obedience. Yes, but it's more than that. Everywhere in the Bible that describes the meaning of baptism, it says it is identification. Identification. I'm just going by what the Bible says. You know, let's forget about what other people say. Let's go by what does the Bible say? Over and 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 over. It says, unto. Unto. Identifying yourself. So let's put in some common thoughts. You know, let's kind of think of the attitude that would precede real baptism. Well, if a person is identifying themselves with the people of God, and they're not ashamed of the people of God, guess what? And they're identifying themselves with the church, guess what? You know what? You'd find them in church. You'd find them in church. You'd find them in church, they'd be glad to be there. They would rather be in church than doing something out there. Right? Why? Because these are my people. This is who I am. That's identification. And you know, think about it. You have some really godly kids, and you have some kids that are kind of wishy-washy. Who do you identify with? The wishy-washy ones? Or those that are sold out for Jesus Christ? I mean, it would be unbiblical to get baptized if in your life you don't identify with the godly ones, right? That'd be unbiblical. That wouldn't be true identification, would it? Identification is a public picture, a public association. And you know, obviously we know that this in many parts of the world. I remember one time baptism is the, and in history of the world, guess what? Baptism was the focal point of persecution. I remember one time we had a family came to our church. They were saved and they went to a Bible church. And, of course, you know, most Bible churches, they de-emphasize baptism. And they said to me, I said to them, you know, when you start coming to a Baptist church, you better believe it that the relatives are now going to start talking about it. And they said, no. We went to this Bible church in all these years and there wasn't any talk. You know, it was fine. Well, guess what? Their relatives found out they're going to a Baptist church, and guess what? All the talk. Why? You know why? Because baptism identifies you with Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine. Isn't it amazing? This isn't a part of the sermon, but isn't it sad? Martin Luther, John Knox, John Huss, Conrad Grebel, John Calvin, all those people that are supposed to be great reformers, do you know they never were baptized by immersion the Bible way? You know why? I'll tell you why. They were ashamed to identify themselves with correct doctrine. That would have been their death. And so it is all over the world. When people are baptized, it is assumed that, boy, this is really serious now. I am really taking my stand for Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed to identify myself as a follower, a committed follower of Jesus Christ. So let's just close with this one thing. What is baptism? Is baptism just obedience? Is that what the Bible teaches? Is that what you read all these verses? Is that what you read? Obedience? No, you don't read. You don't even hardly see the word obedience, do you? No, you don't see it. You know why? Because baptism isn't obedience. Now it is, but that isn't the meaning of it. Baptism is unashamed identification publicly with the truths of Scripture, of what has taken place in your life, who you are, what the Bible says, and your unashamed identifying with the people of God. So, keep that in the back of your hat. That's a very important truth. And it's also a very important thing that, you know, when a person got saved in the Bible, they weren't ashamed of the Lord. They weren't ashamed. They weren't ashamed to stand out in the crowd. They weren't ashamed that they were to declare that they were different. Why? Because they'd been born again. The greatest thing in all the world took place in their life. Amen? And so, we need to understand really what the Bible emphasizes in this particular issue and make sure that that's what we are thinking and that's what we mean. And it's also a challenge to us. It says, "He that confesseth me before men, him will I also confess before the angels of God." Confessing Jesus Christ. You know, we confess Jesus Christ every day by the way we live. We confess Jesus Christ every day by how we dress. We confess Jesus Christ every day by the words that come out of our mouth. We confess our relationship by Jesus Christ by the people we hang around, the places we go, the things that we do. You know? But the Bible has declared that when a person gets saved, after they get saved, they make a public stand for Jesus Christ. And that's kind of like, boom, this is it. I'm taking my stand with Jesus Christ, and that's where I'm going from now on. a public identification. Are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? When you were baptized, did you really identify with Jesus Christ, or did you just have a ritual that you did? Did it really mean what the Bible says? I think these are important things for us to think about. Maybe this is encouraging for you, and as a believer, there's some folks here that are going to get baptized. This is a real important time for them to really consider these things. And there's also those that are here tonight that maybe had things confused about this, and they got that settled, and now they realize what God wants them to do. Let's pray as we close. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these important truths in the Bible. Thank you that our understanding comes from the Bible, and that we are to be Bible following people, and we are to let the Bible and what it says be the predominant thought of our minds and our hearts. And Lord, I pray that this has been helpful, and that Lord, the people of God here understand this. And I pray, Lord, for those who have not been saved, that they would understand that the Bible does not teach you're saved by baptism, but baptism is only for those people who have been saved. And it is a clear opportunity for the people of God to identify themselves publicly and unashamedly with Jesus Christ and with salvation and with the gospel and with their Savior and with the people of God. And so, Lord, may you use this truth while our heads are bowed and eyes closed. And let's put it in a simple way. You say, you know what? I've been saved, but I realize I'm ashamed of Jesus Christ. You're ashamed of letting people know you love Him. You're ashamed to identify yourself as a person who is going to do what's right. You're kind of in the middle of the road. And you know what? The Spirit of God is speaking to you tonight about that, the fact that this is truly very unchristian, and you need to repent of your sinful ways, and you need to give yourself anew and afresh to Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're here tonight and you say, you know, I'm saved, and I need to publicly, unashamedly take my stand with Jesus Christ and the truth, and make it known that I'm going to follow Him the rest of my life. And the Lord is speaking to you about that tonight. And just as we have our heads bowed tonight, you say, the Lord has spoken my heart tonight, and there's an important decision that I need to make in my life. Maybe it's about baptism. Maybe it's just about this subject. And you say, Pastor, pray with me. God has spoken my heart. Anyone here tonight? Okay. Number of different hands. Praise the Lord. Okay. Others? Perhaps you're here and you say, you know, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Anyone here? Well, just raise your hand. I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. Lord, and I thank you for the truth of your word, and pray that it would be instructive, and it would be, we thank you for many young people who we know have a heart to do your will. Pray that they'd be encouraged in their spiritual life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.